So this week, honestly, it's been a struggle. But I don't come to you today like, oh, I've got it all figured out. We've been reminded of something Coach Bob says a lot of, we get to be one beggar showing the other beggars where the bread is at, right? And so we're going to read this awesome passage from John 16. But before we get there, I'm going to take some cues from a couple books, a practice that we're going to get to do together and a principle. And so if we can go to this next slide, this book by Jim Wilder and Michael Hendricks called The Other Half of Church. It has this idea in it, this principle in it, that of a kind of a different way to get connected with God than anything I've heard before. And we're going to try it as a group because I think this is going to set us up to be ready to receive what we're going to read in the Bible. So it's a little different, and you're not going to get anything out of it if you don't participate. So I'll just warn you with that. But if you're up for it, what they recommend is this thing where you pick out a memory from your past, sometime in your past, whether it was yesterday or whether it was 35 years ago, but it's a memory that has two components. So a time in your life that stirs up gratitude in you, like it was a good moment, something you're thankful for that moment, and it was a time when there was some connection with God. So you might have been out in nature connecting with God. It might have been a moment where you finally came clean about something and God forgave you. It might have been a moment when God was there in a way that he promised and he actually showed up. It might have to do with your car. It might have to do with being able to walk today because your back is doing better. Like, it might have to do with all sorts of stuff, right? But select that memory in your brain. And if you got a memory and you're a helper for me, can you go ahead and put your hand up? Because I don't know how long it's going to take you guys. So if you're ready, if you're like, I got something, a time when I was grateful and felt close to God. Okay, so a lot of you. I'm going to say everybody that's willing, put their hand up. Probably, I think you guys are all there. So now what we're going to do, it's not going to take us long. It's going to be in the matter of seconds. But what I need you to do is close your eyes and try to relive that moment. So this isn't so much about words. It's about remember what you saw, okay? Picture in your mind. What were you seeing? I'm doing the same thing. Picture or feel the sensation of whatever you were touching, right? Like maybe there was a wind blowing. Like, what were you feeling physically in your body? Maybe you had butterflies in your stomach. Like, what were the sensations in your body? Remember it. Kind of try to relive it. Like, what you were seeing, what your body was feeling, maybe what you heard, what you smelled. And we're going to sit with it for just a few more seconds, but try to put yourself in that memory. Okay, thank you guys enough for that. That was like, you guys were quiet. You guys were doing it. So now that we were in that memory, my hope is you actually did feel something in your body. I know for me, when I was doing this, I remembered this feeling of like all my muscles being relaxed, like this like calm coming over me. The guy in the book talks about like flutters in his stomach while he saw something out in nature, right? So I don't know what your body was doing in that memory. But I want you to get in touch with this idea. Like, God was close to you in that moment. And this morning, I think God wanted you to reflect back on it. So like, what does that tell you about our Heavenly Father's position towards you right in this moment? Like, you had this real big moment with him at some point in your life. What does it tell you about God the Father's posture towards you? Merciful, loving. Think about it, okay? So I'm going to start talking again here in a moment, but I'm going to give you a moment. Like, think about, God had your body feel that, had your heart feel that. Like, why? So think on that. Try to answer it. I'm not going to make you speak aloud, but do people have a thought? Like, just raise your hand if you're like, I think I know why something about God's view towards me. Fewer of us, right? But some of you guys are getting there, right? Why do we do all that? We come to church. Some of us come here quite a bit. Some of us, it's our first Sunday. But it's easy to hear the words, God loves you, that because of Jesus, God's forgiven you. But a lot of us don't carry that really around in our hearts, where it's an actual truth. And what we're going to be reading today, I don't think we're ready for it if it's not vibrant in our heart to, like, God's good and he loves us. So connecting to, you had that experience. I don't even know what you remembered, right? But you had some sort of experience where, like, God was good and you're thankful for it. And, like, that's the right context for what we're going to read. I got this other book up here. This is one I've read multiple times. So good. It's by Henry Nouwen, and it's called Letters to Mark About Jesus. But in it, something that's always stuck with me is he says that he's found when it comes to the spiritual life, like getting close to Jesus, that spiritual questions, they're not so much about like finding out a knowledge or like a fact as finding a new way of living, that like you live out the deep questions of our spiritual life. Okay, now that's, Henry Nouwen's kind of a deep thinker, right? But what he's saying there is if you find a good question, it'll inspire your life. That seeking after the answer to that question is going to change the way you act. It's going to change the way you think. It's going to change your day-to-day activity. It's not so much just like, hey, Google, and then you find the answer, right? It's more like you live it out. Right? So here's my question as we're going to approach the Bible here in just a second. This is my very last slide. The Bible passage we're going to be talking about is going to get into joy. And this question is very simple, right? It's five words. They're all like one syllable or so. I'm not very good at my syllables. But like, how do we have joy? Very, very simple question, right? How do we have joy? If I did go around with the microphone, and if we were all honest, my guess is the majority of the room would be low on joy. If joy was our fuel and we were all cars, I think a lot of us would have that little like gas symbol light on, right? Like we're still moving forward, but who knows for how long, right? Like I used to have a car where I would set the trip reset when I see the gas light come on. I knew I had about 30 miles or so right before I had to fill up. Some of us are on like mile 29, like we have no clue, you know, what's going to happen. We're cutting it close, right? How do we actually get to the spot? Not where we're happy, not where everything's perfect in our life and there's never a problem, but how do we get to the spot where there's a goodness inside of us even when everything around us isn't good, right? How do we get to the spot where we feel God's smile towards us, right, where that's a real thing in our heart? In Numbers, like the famous blessing from the Old Testament, the blessing is that God's face would shine upon you, right? This idea that God's pleasure in you, that you'd know it, that you'd see it. And for a lot of us, we've lost our grip on that, of God's goodness and his pleasure towards us. And if you've been paying attention as we've been going verse by verse through John 14, 15, and 16, you know, they represent this final conversation with his disciples. He actually talks a lot about joy and that he really cares about our joy being complete, like not just enough joy, you know, to get by until you can retire or something, right? Now, not just enough to barely make it, right? But he wants it to be full and complete. So as we're reading this passage today, we're going to be looking at this question. How do we have joy, okay? So if you'll turn in your Bibles, you've got Bibles right in front of you in the pew. And if you don't know how to get there, there's a table of contents right in the front, or you can just like elbow your neighbor, and hopefully they will help you. So John 16, we're going to start in verse 16. And this says we're going to go to verse 24, I think. If you guys are up for it, this morning, I really felt like we need to go even a little further. We're going to read more than we normally do. It's a little bit foolish to read this much all at once because, like, am I going to be able to keep your guys' attention span? But if you will stick with me, I think we got something really important that Jesus wants to get to us today, okay? So we're starting in verse 16. Please stay with me. I'm going to read it, and I'm just going to do little stops along the way to give you some highlights. Make sure you're with me. Verse 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Jesus went on to say, in a little while, you will see me no more. Then after a little while, you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no more? And then after a little while, you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. I mean, it's easy for maybe for us to look back, but there's this idea like Jesus is about to die on the cross. And literally, they're not going to see him, right? He's going to get buried. And they just, it has not clicked for them yet that Jesus' plan is to die and be resurrected, right? So they don't understand that yet. That's the confusion. Verse 19, Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So Jesus said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Very truly I tell you, that's Jesus' words for like eyes on me, right? Like that's his words, like focus back in. If I lost you, come back to me. So verse 20, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. Maybe you've had a moment like that where you are super sad, even when everyone around you is happy. It's a pretty isolating feeling, right? He says, you will grieve, but note this, but your grief will turn into what? Joy, right? So if we're on this, if we're trying to focus in on this question, how do we have joy? Here's the first time we see it in today's passage. Your grief will turn into joy. A lot of us live our life with this understanding of, I'm going to avoid all the suffering I can so I can be as happy as possible. But here, Jesus is saying, you're going to go through something really hard, and the next thing is going to be joy. Like the hard thing, the grief, is actually part of the path to getting to where you're going to have this joy. And then he's going to take it further, the same analogy, though, or with an analogy. Verse 21, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. I mean, Jesus says this real quickly. If you've ever been around a woman in labor, like you can fill in all the details, right? I mean, what he's saying is very true, but you know, like, well, there's a lot in that statement, right? Her time of pain has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish, right? I mean, if you had to use one word, anguish is probably the right word to use, right? But she forgets the anguish because of her joy. Let's say it a little louder. We're super quiet. Because of her
joy.
There we go. Okay, because of her joy, right? That a child is born into the world. Here's this other thing I want to point out right away about joy. This whole time when Jesus is talking about joy, it's always connected to a relationship, right? Here the mom forgets her anguish because she has this new relationship with this new person, this new baby, right? The joy of that face-to-face connection just obliterates all that anguish. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples is the same thing, right? Like they're going to go through something so hard, but when they get back to that face-to-face with Jesus, it's going to change it all, right? Verse 22, so it is with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And listen to this one, and no one will take away your, we didn't quite learn last time. No one will take away your, there we go, there we go. We got it, right? Man, that is a big one, right? All of us have had times where we're happy because of a new car or a new pair of shoes or a new whatever, and somebody steals it from us, or the world is just a cruel place and it falls apart or whatever it is, right? Like we all know that happiness can get taken from us, right? Like people can break our happiness. Like we've all experienced that, right? But here Jesus is saying, when you see me resurrected, when you have that experience with me resurrected to new life, that no one can take that joy that you're going to have. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Now, this one might be a little confusing. What he's talking about, though, is the disciples were asking, like, oh, we don't understand. We don't understand. We don't understand. And Jesus is saying everything is going to make sense once you have that experience with me. It's not just about Jesus giving them the facts. It's about them having that encounter with living, resurrected Jesus that makes everything click, right? Very truly, I tell you, remember that's Jesus' way of saying eyes on me sometimes with my kids. If you know, like, I'm about to really say something, I'll say, like, eyes on me, eyes on me. Like, I won't move forward until they're actually looking at me. That's what Jesus is saying here. Very truly, I tell you, like, look at me. My Father, he's talking about God, creator of everything. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. We see that and we think, like, oh, that's not true, right? Like, our first response, if you pay attention to that, is like, well, that must mean something other than what I think. But if you've been paying attention, like 14, 15, and 16, this promise comes up three times. Like, Jesus doesn't say this over and over and over by mistake, right? Like, Jesus says this over and over and over because he knows it's hard for us to really take it in. That God the Father wants to and actually will give us whatever we ask for in Jesus' name. Now, right away, one of the reasons we struggle with that is we've all heard people, including me, say prayers that say, in Jesus' name, amen. And we've all seen some of that stuff not work out the way that we prayed it. So we're like, huh, like, certainly it's not just saying in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer. Like, that's not what Jesus is saying here, right? There's a big, like, what does that mean? Verse 24 gives us a little hint. Jesus says, until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Everything the disciples asked, from like Peter asking for his mother-in-law to be healed, who was sick, to like, we don't have enough food. Like, what are we going to do to feed all these people? Like, everything the disciples had asked Jesus up to that point, Jesus said yes to some of it. He said no to some of it. Nothing fit for what Jesus is talking about when he says asking in his name. So we see, like, right away, like, huh, there's a lot I don't understand about, like, what does it mean? If you read John 14, 15, and 16 closely, it'll give you some hints, right? Like, remaining in Jesus is a piece of it. Obeying his command to love him and to love others is a part of it. There's this idea that when he gives us what we ask for, it'll show us to be God's disciples, like, that we bear fruit. Like, there's this interconnectedness, but it's hard to figure it out, right? So that's where we were supposed to stop for today. And there's plenty for us to stop. But today, I was reading this morning, and I just felt like we got to go a little further because I think there's something else that you guys need that Jesus is going to say in these next few verses. So we're going off the track, right? But stick with me. Verse 25, Jesus says, though I've been speaking figuratively, a time is coming where I will no longer use this kind of language, but I will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. Listen to this part. This is the part I think we really needed this morning. Jesus says, I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. I've heard this sort of language around here before, and it's not bad. Jesus does stand up for us. Jesus does advocate for us. But Jesus wants to make sure that when we're looking at the Trinity, we don't think like, oh, Jesus is for us, and everyone else is just kind of like, well, fine. We'll let him come because Jesus said so. Jesus wants to make it really clear right here, verse 26 and 27. He says, no, the Father himself loves you. I want us to pause here. I want you guys to look at me. I'm not a perfect person. I'm a guy just like everybody else in the room. But I want to speak for Jesus right here, and you guys need to hear it. The Father himself loves you. Like, a lot of us don't carry that inside of our heart as, like, the central truth. Like, God who created everything, like, he's for you. Like, he wants good for you. He loves you. Doesn't mean he gives you every piece of candy you want, right, or something like that. But it means he truly wants what's good for you. And here, he's going to tell us, why does he love us? Because you've loved me, this is Jesus talking, and I believe that I came from God. We don't earn God's love, but God has a response to us when we put our love and our trust in Jesus, right? And so many of us are running around trying to satisfy ourselves and trying to do enough good to not have our life blow up. But if we would just get loving Jesus right, we'd have the God of the universe trying so hard to bless us, right? Like trying so hard to answer our requests, right? Jesus says in verse 28, I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father, okay? It's a lot that I read to us today. I don't think we have to figure it all out today. In fact, if you leave today and you think, like, oh, I know everything I need to do, like, you're way ahead of me, right? But what I think would be better is that Henry Nouwen idea of what if we left here today and we said, I have hope and faith and love in Jesus. I have hope that if I can start being in step with him, start asking things in his name, that I'm going to receive from God. And that receiving from God's going to make my joy complete. That like the answer to my life is to be in step with Jesus and to receive from God. Now, that sounds real flowery, but like how do we actually do it? Right? Like if we really believe this is the best way forward, like let's try to actually do stuff and actually get something done. So I'm going to jump across a couple slides here. We can skip that picture of Thomas Edison. We're going to skip that story. But how do we have joy? I'm going to give you three steps. They all start with S. I hope that helps you remember it. Here's what I'd love for you to do this week, every day this week. What if every day this week you got into a positive memory and you experienced it? Because I think some of us have a real hard time accepting that God loves us. So why not like work out that muscle of like remember what it felt like to have that good moment with God and just do that. Just start our time with God with that. Like, I'm going to remember the goodness, the love of God in my life. Number two, we're hitting these pretty quick, but you can write them down, right? This isn't, you know, life is an open book test, right? I mean, like, you can take notes and you can carry it with you, right? The next one starts with S is study Jesus. I don't know if you made it through the fourth grade or if you have your doctorate, right? But all of us at some point, whether we were studying spelling words or whether we were studying calculus or whatever, like, we all learned something about studying. And some of you are like, I'm so glad I'm not going back to school next week, like all the other kids or whatever. Like some of us are glad to be done with school. Remember whatever your best studying thing is and apply that to reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Like when I was a little kid, I was terrible at spelling, but I would sit at my kitchen table with my mom and just repeat stuff and have my mom help me with it, right? Like what if you approached the Gospel of Matthew that way? You found somebody else. And you started repeating stuff from it this week. Like you studied, like, who is Jesus? Don't assume that you know what Jesus would do if he were in your shoes tomorrow. Because when you read the Gospels, I still get confounded of like, I don't understand how to predict what Jesus is going to do. So what if we studied him and we tried to figure out like, okay, I know I'm going to see these people today. I'm looking at what Jesus did. And I'm going to try to copy that into my life today. Final thing, and we're going to let you guys out. We're going to get out at noon, okay? Final one's a specific ask. Now, this one could feel a little bit like we're putting God to the test, especially since I'm going to put a time frame on it. This is an experiment. God can do with it whatever he wants. But here's these amazing promises in here, is that if we ask in Jesus' name, God the Father is going to do it. And so the way my brain works is like if we ask for something and we get a no from God, then we didn't ask in Jesus' name. And we're still trying to figure out what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name, but let's actually try to figure it out instead of leaving it a mystery. Like I would rather course correct than just like meander through life, headed kind of in the wrong direction. So like if I have a bad idea about what God wants me doing in my marriage or as a dad or in my job, like I want to figure it out now, not 20 years from now. So think about like, okay, I remember God loves me. I studied Jesus and now I'm going to ask God something that I think is in Jesus's name for today. I'm going to ask him. And if he says yes, then I'm going to know like, oh, like I'm on the right track. I'm going to try to do more of that. And if I get a no, then I'm going to think like, huh, like I guess I need to ask something different soon, right? So this one might kind of sound strange, but do it, right? Like, I was feeling all guilty. This is our last little story. I was feeling all guilty about, I was at Jack's Donuts over, this is a couple years ago, over on Lee Summit Road. Early in the morning, I got into line. Somebody in their truck felt like they were in line first. And we were rude to each other, to sum up how it went. And I felt like a dork afterwards. Like, I'm over donuts. I'm making an idiot of myself, like, being all grumpy, not really macho. I'm not really like the macho type, but just being a jerk, right? And I felt bad about it, but I didn't know this guy. So I confessed it to a Christian brother, but I still was beating myself up over it. Well, he told me, and I just took his advice, right? A lot of times the best thing you can do is tell another Christian and be open. He said, instead of beating yourself up about it, why don't you just pray that Jesus give you a chance to apologize and then just let it go. So I prayed, Jesus, help me get a chance to apologize. I've only seen this guy twice in my life. Once was outside of Jack's. Once was shortly after praying that prayer. We both pulled into Hy-Vee around the same time. I saw him, and I was like, here it is. Like, here's the guy, right? So I went up to him, super awkward. It doesn't have to be pretty, right? But I went up to him, like, hey, like, I don't know if you remember me, but he did, of course, right? And I'm sorry about being so rude to you. And it was awkward for both of us, right? But then it was over, and I moved on. Whereas I could have just felt a little bit of, like, joy getting sucked out by feeling guilty for being an idiot, right? But instead, like, I just asked something kind of crazy. Like, helped me run into this stranger I've never seen. But that, I'm going to say, was in Jesus' name, because God, I asked it, and then God gave it to me. So then, like, that, okay, like, I'm a step closer to living in Jesus' name. Like, I got a long ways to go. But imagine if you would do that all the time. Like, start asking God for stuff and then seeing what he says. And if he doesn't say yes, like, ask differently about something else. Like, move on to, like, where is Jesus involved in your life, and get with him. Work with him. I want to have Dan, actually, Dan and Allison Foreman, are missionaries with the IMB. So Dan, if you could stand up for me. Dan is gonna close us out with a prayer of blessing over you guys. So Dan, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jake. Let me pray for you and then just have a benediction. Father, we thank you today. God, we have been in your presence and it's amazing. God, we thank you for the amazing ways that you love us. God, how you demonstrated your love for us by sending your son Jesus to die for us and to be risen again from the grave. God, we thank you for how you're moving in the lives of people here at Maywood. Thank you for the life that I see, for the joy that I see. God, we pray that you would just give us joy in all that we do, in following you and growing closer to you. And God, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. So now receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.